Have you with us tonight for our Wednesday Family Fellowship, and we've got a great evening planned for you tonight. And if you receive our emails, we emailed you a handout for this evening's Bible study. And if you have capabilities of printing that off, then challenge you to get that, be it ready. If not, here in just a little bit, get your pen, the paper, and we'll go through a Bible study tonight. We'll continue looking at some suffering aspects, how we handle suffering as Christians, because it's coming for all of us, and may we handle it biblically. But we want to say welcome and thank you again for joining us. We're going to have some good singing here in just a moment. And then, as I mentioned, get into the scriptures and have a missionary video. We've got a lot planned for you tonight. So thank you for being with us as we go to prayer. I challenge you to get the distractions out of your way and just plan on being with us here for a few moments, about the next 45 minutes or so, and we'll have a great time in God's Word. But as we get started, let's pray, ask God to bless us, and then we've got some specials that will be sung this evening and played, and you're going to be blessed by each and every one of them. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank you for this evening. Thank you for the chance to gather around. Lord, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, as you said in your word. And here we are spread out over online services, but still we get to gather together. And I pray that you bless your word as it goes into the hearts of your believers, your followers, dear Lord. And I pray that everything that's done would honor, glorify you. And Lord, may no one else get glory, me or anyone else. May we all see your glory as the preeminent thing. We'll thank you for all of it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, we're going to sing just a couple songs for you at the start here this evening. We're going to start with the song, I'm Standing on the Solid Rock.
Through my disappointment, strife and discontentment, I cast my every care on the Lord. No matter what obsession, pain or deep depression, I'm standing on the solid rock. In love I'm rich, not from Satan's wages, I'm standing on the solid rock, I'm standing on the solid rock.
We're going to continue singing for you.
Amen.
The old account was settled long ago. I hope you can, may not know all the words, but you can sing it from your heart there at home tonight. And you've settled your account with the Lord long ago in your life. You have to do that. I encourage you to do that before it's too late.
There was a time on earth when in the book of heaven that old account was standing, your sins are unforgiven. My name top and many things too low. I went unto the keeper and settled it long ago, long ago.
Down on my knees,
long ago.
I settled it all.
Yes, the old account was settled long ago. And the record's clear today, for he washed my sins away. And the old account was settled long ago.
Large and growing every day, for I was always sinning and never tried to pay. But when I looked ahead and saw such pain and woe, I said that I would settle. I settled it long ago, long ago,
long ago. The old account was settled long ago, and the record's clear today, for he washed my sins away. And the old account was settled long ago. Oh, sinner, seek the Lord, repent from all your sin, for thus he hath commanded, if you would enter in. And then if you should live 100 years below, up there you'll not regret it. You settled it long ago.
Long ago.
Long ago.
I settled it all.
Yes, the old account was settled long ago. And the record's clear today, for he washed my sins away. And the old account was settled long ago. And the record's clear today, for he washed my sins away. The old account was settled long ago.
Well, thank you so much for singing for us tonight. Wonderful job. And we praise the Lord for those good reminders in song. Let me give you a couple of prayer requests here in just a little moment. But before we do that, give you a couple of announcements, keep you up to date on a couple of things. And this Sunday, looking forward to another live stream service. And I want you to be praying with us about that. And then many folks have been asking, and I want you to pray for wisdom as to when we'll open up, have church back like normal. And so please pray for us about that. The Lord would give us great wisdom as to when, and then also wisdom as to how to do that. And so we want nothing more than to be back together again. And I know that most of everybody is that same way. We also want you to pray for safety and asking the Lord to bless us with all of these things. So please keep us in prayer. We'll be back together real soon, and just can't wait. So you'd be praying about that. Also want to give an announcement to the teens. If you haven't received info about the virtual teen event tomorrow, then please contact Brother Bob Mann, our youth pastor, at brbaptistyouth@gmail.com. Just brbaptistyouth@gmail.com. And please get in touch with Brother Bob and Miss Lindsay about that. They have a great time. That's tomorrow evening. And so we want to look forward to a great time together. I know you young people will have a lot of fun. So please get in touch there. Parents, if you haven't heard your young people mentioning that, be sure to challenge them to get a hold of Brother Bob and Miss Lindsay, and they have a great time together. Let me give you a few prayer requests, and then we'll have Brother Daniel come and pray for us. We're praying for several that are in recovery. We're praying for Miss Eileen McCann, that the Lord would just continue to bless her as she recovers. Miss Pam Johnson from surgery, Miss Jackie Bush, and Betty Huntley, and continue to pray for Miss Diana Edwards as she came home, but just asking the Lord to strengthen her and bless in a wonderful, wonderful healing. And then we're also praying for Georgia Miller and Miss Naomi Manetta. And then also continue to pray for Pat Scalf and Miss Pat Shaw, both of all of these needing our prayers for just continued help from the Lord. So please keep those in your prayers. And then, of course, pray for those that are affected by the COVID-19. Obviously, folks that are sick across our nation, and families that have lost loved ones. But then also pray for workers who are furloughed because of it, or unemployed for a more permanent basis. And so just please keep folks in prayer. Continue to pray for Miss Betty Page as she continues to recover. And we got to see her around here today, or not today, but see her around some recently. So keep her in your prayers, asking the Lord to give her a complete and total recovery. And then we're praying for our Deacon of the Week, Brother Ron Smith and Miss Nola. And so please keep them in your prayers, if you will. And I'm going to forego the missionary list. If you got your prayer list emailed to you, you'll see that we're praying for several there. But we're going to have a special missionary presentation here in just a little bit. And so we will let you enjoy that. But before that, I'm going to ask Brother Daniel to come and pray for some of these requests. Of course, Brother Daniel, pray for those who are affected by the pandemic going on. And pray the Lord will continue to keep our church safe.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do thank you today for the opportunity that we have to be here, Lord, to gather in this format. Lord, thank you for those who are here helping us to have the service in this way. But Lord, I thank you for our church family tuning in all over, Lord, the area. And I pray for them tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd help them to listen without distraction. Lord, to benefit, Lord, as they listen to the message and as our hearts are directed to you in song. Lord, I pray that you would bless our church family, keep them healthy and safe and provide for their needs. Lord, I think specifically of those who are dealing with physical issues, Lord, many ongoing. I think of those who are recovering from different procedures and things. Eileen McCann, Pam Johnson, Jackie Bush, Betty Huntley, and Diana Edwards, Lord, I think of these that you have done much for you, Lord, and I pray that you would bless them and strengthen them, encourage them, and help them to heal quickly. We pray for those who are facing ongoing health challenges, Georgia Miller, Naomi Mineta, Pat Scalf, and Pat Shaw, Lord, just different things that they face, but Lord, they need your help, and I just pray that you would encourage them today and strengthen them, touch their bodies, and Lord, raise them up that they might be able to do the things normally that they would feel that you would have them to do. We do pray for those who have lost work, maybe their job entirely or their hours have been cut due to this pandemic. Lord, I pray that you'd make provision for the many who that has affected. Lord, I pray that you would help them as they seek to meet the needs of their families and themselves individually. Lord, I pray that we'd be able to return to the new normal as soon as possible so people can begin to work normal schedules again. And Lord, just pray that you'd give our leadership and our country wisdom in that regard, and pray that you'd help people as those days approach. We do pray that you would just help this time to be a time that we pass, Lord, as you would have us to pass it, Lord, with all of the different concerns and questions that this has raised. I pray that you'd guide our church through it. And on the other side of all of this, we would be a stronger church because we went through this together, though we may not have been able to get together. Lord, we're together as the body and spirit. Lord, as that is truly the place where our union comes from. And so, Father, I pray for that. I pray for many others, Lord, that are facing needs. I pray for our missionaries, Lord, that are affected by all of this. I pray that our missions giving would remain strong so we can continue to help them to accomplish the work of getting the gospel out in the regions that they're in. Lord, just pray for them during this time. We thank you for the many others, Lord, that we could pray for specifically tonight, but just pray that you would work in our church, work, Lord, in a special way. Give us wisdom as decisions are made in regards to when to go back to public services. And just pray that you'd bless Pastor and help him. And, Lord, as we work alongside him, the staff and the deacons, Lord, just give us wisdom. And, Lord, help us to do the right thing at the right time. And just pray that you would bless those things that you lead us to do in a very special way. Lord, we pray you'd bless the remainder of this service. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, now we're going to have that missionary video at this time, so you enjoy. And after this, we'll have just a couple more songs before Pastor preaches tonight.
We are the Mullins family, and we are serving the Lord here in Birmingham, England. We are so thankful for what God has allowed us to be able to do in the 6 years that God has led us here. But over these past few months, God has really brought us to a place where we've been able to do things that we never thought we'd be able to do and reach out to places that we never thought we could reach out to. And it has happened through this difficulty. God has allowed this to fall out under the furtherance of the gospel. We are so thankful for your prayers and love and support for my wife and I, and we ask if you'd please pray for us as we continue to take the gospel to the people in our communities throughout this country, and even as others in different countries are being touched by the online services. We're praying for you, as many there have adjusted to doing online services during this time in which we are not able to leave our homes like we once were or have public gatherings like we once were able to do. But we're thankful for the facility of being able to publish the gospel in a live streaming type way. And God has brought the services at Beaches Road Baptist Chapel, where my wife and I and our family are ministering each and every week. And from a couple hundred views on a typical service to a couple thousand views, people have been requesting copies of the Word of God, getting in touch, sending in prayer requests. And it has been amazing to see people's response to the gospel message. Continue to pray that we'll see souls saved and lives changed, especially during this time. Continue to pray as well for the country of the United Kingdom during this time. And our Prime Minister, Boris Johnson, many of you may have heard, he even has been tested positive for the coronavirus himself. We're praying much for our nation's leaders and praying most of all that the gospel message would be able to get to them. One of the great opportunities that God has given us during this time of lockdown is being able to work together as a team with different pastors, missionaries throughout this land for a children's Bible club called the Pioneer Bible Club. And we would love to invite each and every church there in the States to be able to join with us every Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 9 a.m. Eastern Time. And that Pioneer Bible Club is airing on each one of those days. And we're able to put something out into each family and home that can encourage children to look to the Lord Jesus Christ and trust Him during this time. We're so thankful for how God is blessing that, and we praise the Lord for that opportunity. Continue to pray for us as we seek out different ways to get the gospel to people here in the United Kingdom. The Word of God says in Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 12, "But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel." We believe that this difficulty, no matter how hard it might be or how inconvenient it could be, God is able to use difficult things in our life to be able to allow them to fall out unto the furtherance of the gospel. And we believe the Lord's doing that here in the United Kingdom. And we want to say thank you for your prayers and support. Our family's doing well, and we're going forward with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you so much, and God bless you. And have a wonderful day.
Well, I trust that was a blessing for you this evening, and I continue to pray for our missionaries as they go through a lot of different things facing this crisis in a different country, but a lot of the same things. We're going to continue singing a song entitled, "What a Day That Will Be."
Saved me by His grace.
more song for you this evening. A song entitled, Thank You, Lord, for Your Blessings on Me. I hope that you can sing this from your heart this evening.
So much for that great singing, and what a joy it is to think about the goodness of the Lord and how much He's done for us. And we ought to thank the Lord. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. And I doubt that any of us, probably are guilty of praising the Lord too much, because where would we start? Where would we stop? Praise the Lord for His goodness on us. Well, we're going to get started with our last lesson. Maybe you do one more about suffering, but as far as I know, the last one. Now, 2 weeks ago, 1 week and 2 weeks ago, we were teaching on the resurrection, either a timeline of the week before the resurrection, and then some reasons it's important. And so we're getting back to finish up what we had started before that, and that is about suffering. And then this is part two of part one. I hope you were with us then about what to remember about suffering. If not, this will stand on its own. And so if you did not join us on that evening, then this will certainly be applicable to you as well. And you won't have had to have that one to get this one. But what to remember about suffering. I want you to turn to John chapter 16, verse number 33. And John 16, verse number 33, we'll get started. Now, we might as well just tell you the bad news at the get-go, and that is that you might as well expect it. You say, well, what can I learn about suffering? It's coming. And some person put it like this: you're either in a trial, you're either in one, you just came out of one, or you're getting ready to go in one. Or maybe you're doing all three of those. You're in one, you came out of another one not too long ago, and there's another one around the corner. I don't know where you are, but I do know this, that we will have tribulation. If you look in John chapter 16, verse number 33, in case you don't want to take my word for it or doubt me saying it, let's look at what the Lord Jesus says here in John 16, verse 33. "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace." That's a wonderful thought. Because we could stop there and we could preach about the peace. "My peace I leave you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you." But he doesn't stop there. Jesus not only gives you peace, he is the Prince of Peace. He's the provider of the peace. He is saying that we might have peace in him. But he also tells us what we'll be facing. It goes on to say, "In the world you might have tribulation." That'd be an interesting thing if it said it like that. You know, you might have some troubles, but it doesn't say it that way. Jesus doesn't say you might have some trouble, some tribulation here once in a while. If you're reading in the Word of God, you see it doesn't say in the world you might have tribulation. It says in the world ye shall have tribulation. And so I intentionally put a false word in there because sometimes we act like that. Well, it may go good or it may go bad. And that's true. In any specific thing, it may go one or the other. But if you're saying, "Wow, life might be easy all the way through," not according to the Scriptures. "In the world ye shall have tribulation." But God puts two positives, one on either side of it. He sandwiches in the middle, in the middle with "in the world ye shall have tribulation." He started off to say you'll have peace, but then at the end he ends it by saying, "Be of good cheer. That world that gives you tribulation, I've overcome it. Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." So we ought to expect it. It's not that you're being a pessimist. It's not that you're being a downer all the time. It's just that you're saying, "I know that problems will come." I was talking with Amy some time back, and we were talking about vehicles. I forget how we were coming through, and I said, "Look at all the vehicles." Now, right now, there's not as many out as there were, but there are still plenty. You look at all the vehicles that you pass on a daily basis. If you're driving from here to Knoxville, you're driving from here to wherever, and you pass hundreds and hundreds, thousands of cars going some going your way, some going the other way. Isn't it naive of us to think that we get a vehicle with moving parts and we're driving it, sometimes we're using it, sometimes abusing it, we're driving it? Isn't it naive of us to think that once in a while that won't break down? It's just the way it is. It's just the way it's going to be. It will break down. So you take that same philosophy and you apply it to life. Isn't it strange to think that we are naive to think that we're going to live through this life? And boy, it's always just going to be good. Not only is it naive, it's not practical, but it's not real. It's not what the Scripture promises. It will come, and so we ought to expect it. Again, I'm not saying that you're just like the one fellow said, "Well, I'm just waiting for bad stuff to happen." You said, "Man, what's wrong? You seem down. You seem depressed. I don't know. I just think something's going to happen." You said, "Well, it's a beautiful day out. Everything's going good. I know, but it's going to rain here in a little bit." I'm not talking about being a pessimistic person that's just annoying to everybody. I'm just saying that so you're not caught off guard, you've got to realize that problems will come. "In the world you shall have tribulation." When I was a kid, WSAZ News Channel 3 was one of the stations that we got. We only got the three that our antenna would give us. And so one of them was Channel 3, and the weatherman was Tony Cavalier. And Tony Cavalier was the meteorologist, the weatherman. Well, they sent out as promotions to certain people who won trivia questions or something, umbrellas that said this phrase, "Tony said it would," meaning that Tony said it would rain, Tony Cavalier, the meteorologist. Well, the bad thing was a lot of people took the umbrellas and left them in their cars because when Tony said it would, it didn't. When Tony said it was going to or said it wouldn't, it did. So a lot of the umbrellas made people mad, not glad, about Tony because Tony said it wouldn't and it did, and so they left them at home. So Tony wasn't always right, but our Savior's always right. In the world you'll have tribulation. There's a couple of lessons to learn there. One is, don't get too friendly with the world. Just as soon as you think, "Boy, this world is nice and the people are treating me good and everything's going well," we may not be interacting with the world the way that God wants us to. Because if we interact in it in a godly way, in a righteous way, then our following the Scriptures is going to go wrong or cross wrong the world, because the world, the flesh, and the devil are our enemies. So you understand that we should expect suffering in the world. You shall have tribulation. Again, I'm not saying that to depress you. I'm not saying that to make your head drop down. We're going to get to it in just a little bit, that God's already taken care of it. It's fine. But I'm just telling you, don't be a person that's naively thinking, oh, wow, nothing's going to happen to me today, because it very well might. Deal with it when it comes and go on for the Lord. So first of all, John chapter 16, verse 33, we should expect it. I want to go a little step further. Would you turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3? 2 Timothy chapter 3, easy to find. It's right after 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we're going to look at verse number 12. Now we're going to ratchet it up just a little bit. In the world you have tribulation, but now we're going to ratchet it up a little bit to those that try to live for Jesus Christ. You remember in the Old Testament, Job, who was the best God had to offer, so to speak. Have you considered my servant Job? And we know what happened to him. Well, let's take a New Testament example of some of that same thinking or same principle. Verse number 12, 2 Timothy chapter 3. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now, I thank God in our nation, we are allowed to stand legally. We are allowed to stand on the street corners of Gray, Tennessee, go down to Johnson City. We can take out gospel tracts out of our pocket, and we can pass them out to somebody and say, hey, I'm from Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. I know Jesus, my Savior. I'd like to give that to you. And you won't be put in jail. I'm thankful that we live in there. We may not face persecution like they would in some other countries in this present day. But we will, if we stand for the Lord, we will suffer some persecution to some degree or another. Though that's what the Scripture says. Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And I think about this. It seems like people always take shots at people who stand out from everyone else. Have you ever noticed that? If you're a parent tonight, you get complaints from your kids, you get complaints from other parents, you get complaints from people. The ones that you get the most from are the people who never had any kids. They know how to do it all, of course. And most of us did the same. If you've got children, man, before you had kids, you knew it all. And then after you had them, then you realize you didn't know what in the world you were talking about. But it's amazing how people take shots at, not literal, hopefully, but they take shots at or malign people, like parents who are leaders in the home. Why do they do that? Well, you're at the top. It's always fun or tempting to lob things at the leader, whoever that is, the parent, the principal at a school, the president of a nation, the governor of a state, all these things. And we understand that that principle holds true with anybody that leads. Now I want to apply that, as the Scripture says, these people who lead in our Christian life, yea, the godly that live for Christ, that stand for Christ, that aren't ashamed of the Word of God and the God of the Word. The Bible says those people who live godly in Christ Jesus, they shall suffer persecution. One reason is, verse number 13 goes on to say, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. One of the reasons we'll suffer problems and afflictions and all the rest that's mentioned there in verse number 11, one of the reasons is because there's no shortage of people who are against God. You take a person who's got a vendetta against God Almighty, and then you have the audacity to stand up and say, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. Well, if somebody hates Christ, what are they going to think of you? Well, they're not going to think very highly of you. So the godly, I want to share with you, are guaranteed to have it. Number one, I said we ought to expect it. It's coming. Ye shall have tribulation. But we can go a step further. And point number two, just realize that the godly are guaranteed. Make some person feel like, well, maybe I just ought not to stand for Christ. Well, can I remind you, as Brother Alton Beale preached to us on Sunday night, that we'll all, as believers, stand before that judgment seat? I want to stand before the Lord with having Him pleased with me. I'd rather have Him pleased with me and people down here displeased than the other way around. I believe there's going to be a lot of Christians that they didn't make any waves amongst amongst the world, and everybody thought they were a wonderful person, but then when they stand before the judgment seat, they made some waves in a negative way for that. And my friend, if I've got to choose, I want to make some waves down here. I don't want to blend in with everybody if that would mean I could please my Savior. So the godly are guaranteed. I want you to look, not only do we see that we ought to just expect it, it's coming. I heard one time of a businessman who owned a large corporation. He had a lot of buildings, houses and real estate and the lot. I don't remember the scenario that he gave, the number that he gave, but I remember very well his philosophy. He said, I figure every morning when I get up, I'm going to have, and I don't remember the number, 10, let's say. I'm going to have 10 problems that day. He said, that way when the 10 come or the 9 come or the 8 come, whatever ends up having coming my way, I'm not surprised. I already know I'm going to face them. I'm just going to face them, do what I need to do to get over them, and then go on. As opposed to the person who says, boy, nothing's going to happen to me today, and then when one does come, it devastates you. Why do you have a spare tire on your car? Well, some of them don't come with one anymore, unfortunately, but if you have a spare tire, are you planning to get a flat? Are you hoping to get a flat? No, you don't want one. You don't want to be beside the road changing a tire. You don't have it for that reason, but you know you might. And the Bible says that those that we shall in the world have tribulation, and those that live for Christ will have some problems that come their way because of their Christ-like attitude. So, or their godly attitude, the godly are guaranteed. Now, I want you to turn, if you will, to Philippians chapter 3. You're in 1 Timothy. Just go back just a little bit to Philippians. In Philippians, in this short little book to the people of Philippi, we see that it takes us over toward where our Savior is when we get in a suffering way of life. In Philippians chapter 3, verse number 10, if you find your way there, you'll see the Bible says, that I may know Him. This is an exhortation to know Christ. Not know Him as Savior, although that would be wonderful, but to know Him intimately already as a saved person. Know Him intimately. Verse 10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. Do you understand that when we face difficulties, it makes us more Christ-like because we are, number one, we're closer to Him at that time because we've got to rely on Him. But then we also identify with Him, the man of sorrows. Our suffering servant Savior didn't come into the world to ride high on the popularity wave. He came to suffer and to die. And the Scripture says here that we would be in the fellowship of His sufferings, and that we ought to know Christ, and some of the dearest Christians I've ever known are those that have been taken down the furthest as far as life goes, because it seems to be a direct correlation between the suffering that we do and the amount that we rely on Christ. Now, what I've done is, as far as I know, I'm healthy. I could die tomorrow of something. I hope I don't, and I hope none of us have to face anything like that. But as far as I know, I'm healthy. You know, one thing I've decided that I want to do as a Christian, I want to be close to Christ while I am healthy. Like I've seen some of those blessed saints of God that have gone through so much health conditions, and those health situations have brought them closer to Christ. I want to come close to Him like that without that. I want to come close to Him without the struggles. And some good people were close to Him before the struggles came. I'm not talking about that. But I know I've sat by the bedside of many a wonderful, sweet Christian that they told me, when God got me flat on my back, I really started realizing how important my fellowship and relationship with Christ was. Already saved, but chasing after this or searching after that and not looking up to the Lord until I've had the words almost verbatim. He said, Pastor, until God got me on my back. And I had to look up and I realized that He was all I needed. I don't want to get on my back to have to learn that lesson. I want to learn that lesson. I want to live in that thought. I want to be consumed with the knowledge of Christ while I'm healthy, as far as I know. But I do know this, that suffering makes us more Christ-like. In the fellowship of His sufferings, I heard an illustration one time of a pastor years ago who said that there were several folks in his church who were blind without sight. And so he said that he would spend a portion of his week every week with his eyes closed in the dark just so he could identify with some of the folks in his congregation who were blind. so he could identify, so he could know a little bit more of what they went through. And you say, well, if you're listening tonight and you're without sight, you say, well, that's nothing to sit there for 20 minutes like that. And I understand that's not. I'm not trying to say, oh, now you know what they feel like. But this pastor was trying to understand what some of the people who he loved were going through. He was trying to identify. And when we have problems, can I challenge you this? Yeah, I know kids are out of school right now and whatnot, but can I challenge you this? If you ever take something on the chin, hope not literally, but that too, if you ever take something as ridicule for standing for Christ, may it just drive you to remember that that's nothing to what your Savior went through so you could take that stand. In the fellowship of His sufferings, it makes us more Christ-like. Not only do that, you're in Philippians chapter 3, verse number 10. Yes, it does make us more Christ-like, but I want to give you the victory verse for 1 Corinthians chapter 10. You're in Philippians, just keep on turning left. Just go left several books, few books. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 13. It will probably be familiar when you get there. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 13, give you just a moment to find your place there in verse number 13. This is going to tell us that, hey, listen, Christian, there's hope. You say, Pastor Irvin, Brother Irvin, I'm going through so much right now. The health issues are really battling, taking me down. My issues with family, this, that, the other, or this quarantine, or this financial situation. I mean, whatever it is really getting me. I just cannot take any more. Let me give you some hope. The Bible says in First Corinthians chapter 3, or 10, verse number 13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. Now, this is talking about those things that would overcome us in our Christian walk, but you can apply it to most every struggle that you have. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. But look at this next phrase. But will with the temptation also make a way to escape. Why? That you may be able to bear it. There's no temptation taking you that you're not able to bear with the Lord's help. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheth me. I mentioned, I think, to you before that if somebody says, it's too much on me, there's no way that I can stand this and go through. That's not true. Now, something may make us fall, but if it came on us, God was willing and able and was going to empower us to get through it. Used to be my... when my brother, I have two older brothers, but the oldest one, he was into combing your hair over and making it all right, combing it. When me and my brother, that's a year older than me, when we didn't care whether our hair even got washed, let alone combed, and so he would comb that over from one side all the way over to the other, and now he hardly has any hair to comb, so he didn't have to worry about it. But he would keep those little black combs in his pocket, and what brand it was, but a lot of those on that little black comb, the teeth were closer together on one side than the other. Just they're everywhere. But a lot of them would say, and the ones that Dan used to have say, unbreakable. And you know what that is to a kid? That's a challenge. Unbreakable means one thing. You can't break it, right? But I tell you, unbreakable combs break. That doesn't mean unbreakable. It means not very likely to be broken. Not broken in usual. It's about like warranties. Well, a lot of times warranties will say, if this item breaks in normal use, then it's warranted. But they find you abusing it, then they don't cover it. Well, these combs weren't unbreakable because that's a challenge. And so I can tell you that unbreakable combs break because we broke plenty of them. But I can tell you this. God gives you a guarantee that when you're facing the problems that you're facing, and I don't pretend to know what they are. That's the beauty of the relationship with Christ. You don't have to tell everybody everything you're going through because some of it's so personal you can't even get into it with somebody. But I can promise you this. The unbreakable promise that God gives you is He says He will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able to bear. But will with the temptation also make a way to escape. That or so that ye may be able to bear. So I give you this last point, that we can get through it. I told you problems are coming. Number one, we should expect it. Number two, if you're living godly in Christ Jesus, then you might as well understand you're guaranteed to have it. But realize that it makes us more Christ-like, brings us more together with Him. But then number four, we can get through it. I've been lots of times on motorcycles and four-wheelers or in Jeeps or four-wheel drive trucks, and you go what you call mudding, and you go through different long runs of muddy holes and holes that have mud and water and all of them in there. You know, like they say that a redneck is famous last words were, watch this. You know, there's plenty of them that's the way they figure out that they shouldn't do something is they did it that one time. And so what you do is have a goal to get all the way through that thing, and you don't have much assurance that you can, because it's intentionally you chose a point or you chose a part that's pretty hard to get through. And so you got to decide whether your vehicle, your skills are able to get you through. And the way you figure it out is you don't make it. So then now you know you didn't. So you're always in doubt of can you. But my friend, whatever problems are going on in your life, you don't have to be in doubt, can I? You can be in doubt if you want to, will I? There's lots of problems facing us. I'm not saying that, hey, everything's going to be good. You're going to succeed at everything you do. I'm not saying that. I'm saying there's no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful. Whatever problem you're going through, my friend, God is faithful. The suffering that He has allowed you to come through, He's faithful. Job suffered like few others did, but God was faithful. You take every Old Testament and New Testament personality that they suffered, but God was faithful. I want you to look back at that verse if you're in 1 Corinthians. I want you to maybe underline or just bold or just dwell on that verse. But God is faithful. From colon to comma. But God is faithful. So my greatest lesson I teach you tonight about the suffering that you're going through. But God is faithful. Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. But God is faithful. See, our church has taken its hits over the last however long you want to say. Well, how long has it been? You say, well, a year, maybe. Has it been the last 10 years? Has it been the last 50 years? Has it been the last 240 years? Whatever. Buffalo Ridge has taken its hits. But God is faithful. Let's take Buffalo Ridge and set it over here on the side. Let's take your family. You've taken your hits over the last year. Maybe you're taking your hits and you're taking your lickings right now. But God is faithful. Let's take your personal life. Things that nobody else even knows. The struggles that you're having. That you say, this has been the hardest year of my life. But God is faithful. Look at what's going on in our nation. The whole nation shut down and much of the world shut down. And now we're even trying to figure out how to open it up. See if it's even able to be opened up for business. But God is faithful. So what could I tell you but best to remember in suffering? But God is faithful. I tell you this as we leave in the conclusion in Acts chapter 5. I'll turn you to one other place. You're in Corinthians, you're in 1st, I think, Corinthians. Just look the book before there. Acts chapter 5, verse number 41. Let's say that our faith caused us, like 2 Timothy chapter 3 says, to the godly shall suffer persecution. Let's say that our faith caused us to take a little ridicule. I don't know that any of us in America really know what it is to suffer persecution. We hang our head and embarrassed when we knock on a door and say, my name is John, I'm the pastor at Buffalo Ridge Baptist. Get out of here, I don't want to hear any of that. It's like, oh man, I'm really taking a hit for the Lord. I believe John Huss and some of those old martyrs that went to the death for their faith would probably take some issue about me being persecuted in that way. But let's say we did. And I'm closing here, but Acts chapter 5, verse number 41. Let's say we did do something that got us a little uncomfortable for our faith. Acts chapter 5, verse 41. And they departed from the presence of the council, the apostles. They were beaten and left, sent away. And look at what the attitude that they had as they were walking away, limping away probably, nursing some wounds. rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. You know, it would take us, it would do us well, to think about what the apostles went through, and then not only the apostles, but then, as I said, Christians throughout the centuries that have had the opportunity to be released from certain death if only they would deny that they knew Christ. You read some of the old accounts of people who burned at the stake with only one thing needed to release them: renounce Christ. And they wouldn't do it. And then I look at my own little self and I say, boy, I tried to bring up about Jesus in a conversation I was having with one of my neighbors, and boy, they didn't want to hear anything about that. They would shut me down, and man, that hurt my feelings. I believe when we spend some time in glory with some of those martyrs for the faith, I don't believe I'm going to want to bring up that I got my feelings hurt when my next door neighbor didn't want to hear when I invite him to our friend day. I'm just saying that the apostles, they rejoiced and they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. If you ever, I'm not saying we're not sick puppies and we're not looking for rough times to go live in just so we can say, well, I made it through. But if we ever suffer for the Lord's name, then may we be like the apostles that say they rejoiced that they were able to suffer for His name. So what to remember about suffering? Listen, folks, don't live in life saying, well, I hope nothing ever bad happens to me. I hope my water line never breaks, because guess what's going to happen? I hope my water heater never breaks. I hope it never rusts through and starts leaking all over the floor, because guess what's going to happen one of these days? Boy, I hope my car, I hope transmission never goes out of my car. Guess what? It's coming. We ought to expect some things coming our way, because bad stuff's happening to good people, but good stuff's happening to bad people. It doesn't matter. We should expect things. But suffering, when it gets past those external things like a transmission and all that, then it gets down to those personal things. Remember, we ought to expect it. In the world, you'll have tribulation. And especially if you live for the Lord, the godly shall suffer persecution. But it reminds us, it brings us closer. Some of the sweetest Christians I know are those that have the most suffering. Brings them closer. But chin up, my friend. We can get through it. No temptation taking us, but such is common to man. But God, who's faithful, will make a way to escape. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for what He's given us. And I remind you to just remember these things about suffering. And if you're here tonight, you're listening tonight, watching tonight, and there's some things going on in your life you just cannot explain. You say, Pastor Herdman, I just don't understand. Preacher, it just doesn't seem like it should be this way. Can I just remind you to go back to Scripture? You're not going to get help by me coming over to you and patting you on the back and saying, listen, you can do it. But we can get help from the Word of God. And you may be at tonight, you're listening tonight, but you're not saved. You'd say, Preacher, I'm not even sure that I'm saved on my way to heaven, but boy, there's a lot of problems coming my way. Just seems like issue after issue after issue. Can I tell you the biggest need you have is to be saved so that your eternal problem is solved of where you'll be spending forever. And then the Lord also helps you through all these problems. You say, oh, does He take all the problems away? I just got done preaching. He doesn't do that. But He walks with us. He doesn't promise to take all the issues out of our lives. He just promised to walk with us through the issues and get us to the other side. Would you bow your heads together there in your home or wherever you're at? And we ask the Lord to bless as we look to Him. Father, I do pray for those that are listening this evening, Christian friends of mine that love You. And Lord, if they're not careful, be very, very easy to get to where they don't understand. Why, Lord, why? I can't answer those questions all the time, dear Lord. I can give them a few thoughts just like I did tonight. But I know the sweetest promise that I have ever heard in the Scriptures. Well, the first one is, whosoever shall call on Your name shall be saved. The sweetest promise after that was, You'd never leave us nor forsake us. Lord, I pray for those, my friends, that are saved tonight, but they're suffering. Would You give them an extra special dose of grace that they can move on through this? And if there's one or several that's unsaved listening tonight, watching, Lord, I pray that right now You'd show them their sinful condition, show them their need of a Savior, and they'd turn to Christ. Friend, if you're watching tonight and you know that you're a sinner, and you know that if something were to happen to you, you're not sure you'd go to heaven, you know you're a sinner and away from God, I challenge you there where you are to realize that and realize that Jesus is the Savior, and call out to Him and ask Him to be your Savior. If you're unsaved, I ask you, pray that you'd get saved. If you're saved going through suffering tonight, look to Him. But God is faithful. Lord, bless each and every one tonight. We'll thank You for all that You've given us this evening. Thank You for the time to be in Your Word. Bless our homes. Bless our church. Lord, let us meet together soon. Give us wisdom. And we thank You. May we please You in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you for being with us this evening. Have a great evening.